This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to talk with Diana Neff, who's the Chief Information Officer for the City of Philadelphia. Welcome to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be with you.
The City of Philadelphia has dropped a bombshell into the world of Broadband Wireless Access by suggesting that it's going to fill the city with Wi-Fi. What's the plan exactly?
Well, we think it's a great opportunity. The City of Philadelphia is led by Mayor John F. Street, and he's had really three main platforms for the city: neighborhood transformation, safe streets, children and families. And this is a technology that we believe, through economic development, social development, and closing the digital divide, will meet or help meet all three of those goals. We have pulled together a cross-section from the community, through our K-12 schools, our universities, our tourism and marketing organizations, our businesses, our four different chambers, and residents of the city, to help us work on this plan to make Philadelphia what we believe to be the first wireless major city in the country.
Okay, let's back up on that a little bit. How big a city is Philadelphia? What's its rankings in the United States?
Philadelphia is the sixth largest city in the country.
How many people are there?
We have a population of 1.6 million.
Okay, and how big is it?
Geographically, we're actually ideal for this type of a project. We're only 135 square miles, so we're a high-density urban community with a wide range of population.
Now, where did the idea to do this come from? The mayor, from you, from the community?
Well, as the Chief Information Officer, I have been monitoring wireless technology, both internal as a use for reducing the cost of service delivery in the government, and then in taking a look at the outdoor wireless as it's matured, to how it could benefit the community as a whole. Obviously aligning the technology with the mayor's goals, I presented a briefing paper and fact sheet on this technology, made the recommendation, talked to various organizations in the city. The mayor, who happens to be a technology buff.
Right. What was he before he was mayor?
He was actually a council member.
Okay, but so he's been a politician for a long time. He's not a technologist.
Over 20 years.
He's not a technologist as such. He's not.
No. He started with a love of gadgets.
Okay.
And has seen in my 3.5 year tenure with the city how technology has helped to move the city forward in its actual service delivery.
Okay, now what's the timetable? What was actually done? The press release talked about the establishment of a committee.
Correct. The mayor has appointed a 14-member, we're calling it Wireless Philadelphia Executive Committee, that represents the various groups that I talked about, universities, K-12, the marketing industry, and representatives from the business chambers, citizens, and citizen groups, to work with me to put together the business plan and the funding sourcing strategy for how we could do this, because obviously it's a technology whose cost point makes it affordable to do, particularly in a community the size of Philadelphia. We believe that we can wire the city for $10 million. There's few technologies that has that low of an entry. In comparison to wire the city, it's about $1 million a square mile. This equates to about $70,000 a square mile.
Right.
And so it's an affordable technology that has interest to a wide range of people. I put forward a number of assumptions, and the wireless committee and I are working to validate those. We're doing focus groups, pilot tests, and then I'm also working with our universities to help put together a business plan, and as I say, do the research on a funding strategy, and that will be done by the end of this fiscal year.
Right, which will be when?
In December, we'll deliver the product to the mayor.
Right.
And then after the first of the year, we will have vetted that through the mayor's organization, And our goal is to formally launch the project in February of 2005. And I believe that we can actually have the system implemented within a year of that launch date.
What political processes need to be gone through to approve the plan once it's developed?
Well, we have a obviously an elected body. We will meet with the technology committee of the council. We will have had. The various studies will be reviewed by the mayor and his administration. Internally, we'll look at operations and then make the decision whether where and how we go forward.
So essentially, the committee will issue its report or give the report to the mayor in December. Then he'll process it, and then does that mean it will become legislation that he'll submit to the city council?
I don't believe. Well,
or can he do it out of
an operational, and it doesn't have to be by legislation of the council, unless I'm requesting. The outcome is that the government fund this through capital funds. But that's one strategy in which some governments are doing.
Right.
But our goal is to make this a much broader citywide perspective.
Right.
And so we'll be looking at other models. Who manages it, who runs it, and how do you fund it?
Okay, well, let's talk about the funding. You said essentially this can be built for $10 million.
Yes.
How much will it cost to operate it on an annual
basis? About $1.5 million annually.
Okay, and where are you looking? Apparently you're not going to just essentially ask the city council to pay for it. You've got a more complicated approach. Where are you looking for money elsewhere?
Sure, there are many avenues, and we haven't predetermined that.
Right.
So we're looking at areas, for example, in the tourism. We have heard that, and studies have been done, that shown that people are tired of paying at the airports, paying at their hotel, paying in the bookstores, paying in the cafes.
Right.
But they would be willing if they came in and were able to register, whether it was at the airport or the hotel or at an information booth, to have access anywhere they went in the city.
Or on the Internet from when they were either in Pittsburgh or Paris, before they showed up even, right?
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
So essentially you'd get a Philadelphia wireless access pass.
Yes.
And you'd be certified and ready to go.
Yes.
Okay.
And another opportunity is we have many institutions of higher education.
Right.
In the area. All of the campuses, the university campuses, are wired. And they
unwired?
Wireless.
Right, they're unwired.
And they
right.
provide, a wireless experience for those that are on campus.
Right.
But when you're off campus, you don't have access to that.
Right.
They have shown interest in providing an opportunity for their students to have access to their network through a secured tunnel in this infrastructure that they would pay for. And it's built into the tuition, and then the students, the professors, would have access from wherever they were in the city.
So is the idea essentially that you want to get some of the beneficiaries to put up some of the money?
Or to subscribe to this infrastructure. And also, there have been interests from very large organizations to put up the upfront money to build this, and then they would get a revenue stream off of.
Okay.
So that's one model we're looking at. New York business area, or New York, is looking at selling the rights to their 18,000 lampposts.
Right.
For $22 million. So that's another model that we'll look at. I think the thing that is unique about Philadelphia is whatever the model is, this mayor is committed that there be some form of free wireless access
right.
in the city, whether that's in public areas or that's for, parents with children that need to communicate with their schools.
Right.
So as we look at our funding strategies, I like to say that we're going to keep a social consciousness to whatever our solution is. That we not leave anyone behind, and we provide the opportunity for small, mid-sized, disadvantaged companies to have affordable access to be able to compete in the digital world why we provide some form of free access for everyone. So if you're sitting out on your stoop and you want to connect, that you'd be able to do so. If you want, say, a higher level of security, then you may be willing to pay a price for that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the technology itself. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you're going to implement your strategy with Wi-Fi, 802.11...
BG is what we're looking
BG.
At.
That's what you're planning on doing, right?
That's, yes.
Now, how many units do you expect that it will take properly positioned to cover the whole city?
With a the dense cellular mesh technology that we're looking at, we believe we probably need about 450 connect points that it would have to be wired, and there would probably, I think we're talking 1,300, 1,500, maybe 2,000 at the very most devices citywide.
Okay. Now, I'm sure as CIO, you've looked a little bit at least at WiMAX technology.
Correct.
Have you explicitly rejected it, or you just decided that it's not ready yet, or have you considered that?
It's not ready yet. We made the decision to go with what was viable and real today.
Okay.
We believe that WiMAX will play a role in the future.
Right.
And we will obviously look at structuring it so that we could take advantage. I don't believe it's Wi-Fi or WiMAX.
Right.
I think it's both. And I think that WiMAX for the backhaul in the future is something that we'll look at.
Okay.
Right now, we're looking at having to have the wired connections. At certain points, you've got to bring your wireless and connect it into a circuit.
Right.
And that's the way we'll look to structure it for now. You lease your circuits. In the future, if WiMAX is a competing technology that makes business sense to do so, that would continue to make this an affordable operation, we would certainly look at that.
Okay.
We haven't eliminated it. We will require, that whatever technology is implemented be compatible with that in the future.
All right. What's been the reaction in town to the proposal among the political community, the business community, the general community?
A high degree of excitement and realizing the transformational potential for this technology and its ability to be useful to such a broad community of people and interests. It's been very highly received. I really haven't received a lot of negativity at all.
Right.
Now, there are some concerns. We always look at what our strengths, weaknesses,
threats,
and opportunities.
Right. What concerns have been expressed?
How does this compete against the big telcos?
Right.
And DSL and cable modems. And, I'm meeting to talk with our telco and cable companies. I believe it can be very complementary.
Right.
I kind of liken to what we're doing is building a road structure.
Right.
You take the road to get to your home, but you don't take the road into your home.
Right.
And so that there's opportunities there to heighten for right now we've got to connect to a circuit world. So with the backhaul connections, you need to tie into. So I'm saying let's open it up, compete it. It can be new business for everyone.
Because, in fact, what you're saying, the DSL providers and cable modem providers are a little worried that they're going to lose business on the basis of this.
People will want to go outside and use the free wireless.
Right.
Versus connecting in their home.
Not to mention the possibility of voice over IP, which
correct.
Is empowered by broadband,
yeah.
that would cut into the core business of telephone companies.
Correct. And I'm not looking to get in to be a service provider.
Right.
We will look to provide the infrastructure that allows all citizens, businesses, and visitors to Philadelphia to have that wireless experience.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about what you just mentioned, transformational potential of all this. Why don't we start with e-government? In what ways do you feel that establishing the system would make it easier for the city to do more e-government?
Well, there are neighborhoods that aren't served by a high-speed data access. And so this will open it up so it's convenient. What we found is that for things to be, you know, heavily used in the e-government arena, it needs to be accessible. And we provide public access in our libraries, in our community technology centers. We've got about 2,500 public access PCs around the city. But what people have really said, for us to be able to do this, we need to be able to do it on our own time. We need to be able to do it in our home.
So, in fact, instead of just providing this access in libraries, it's going to be provided in every room in the city, essentially, every house, every apartment in the city. Does the city do a lot of e-government now, and would it essentially be able to do more with this system, and would it save a considerable amount of money if it could?
Just internally for the city in reducing the cost of service delivery, we believe this is important. If you think about the services that we're both a city and a county, so for our inspectors to be able to have handheld wireless devices in the field.
Right.
Today, they have handheld devices, but the commercial cellular is too slow.
Right.
And so what we do is they collect the data and do their stuff, and then they dock it into cradles when they come back in.
Right.
That is this cost savings. But there's even more to be gained by them able to do real-time in the field. Much of what governments do are geographically based.
Right. Well, not to put all of those workers out of work, but couldn't you set up units on the systems that they're monitoring and let them talk directly to the network?
Oh, absolutely.
On a real-time basis?
On a real-time basis.
Okay.
So we think that, you know, there's high potential for assessors. We have a, you know, we're going to go to a new market strategy on taxation, and we need to reassess all 566,000 parcels in the city of Philadelphia. To do that in a reasonable time frame, you must have wireless access from the field.
Now, have businesses, small businesses, larger businesses, said anything to you about hooking this system up to, for example, to RFID, so that they could essentially monitor every package and every product and every item that's moving around in the city?
One of the things that we are doing is holding focus groups with our small business chamber, with our minority chambers, to gather their feedback and to hear where their interest points are with our high-tech, you know, companies. And so that is some of the feedback that we're starting to gather. I don't have any conclusive because we're still doing those focus groups at this time. But, yes, we are reaching out to them. We're hoping that, you know, through these focus groups, we spark their imaginations and they start thinking about the different things and tell us how they might be able to use this better and more effectively for them.
Now, is part of the plan, either implicitly or explicitly, that Philadelphia companies will rise to the challenge here and develop new technologies to take advantage of this environment, thereby positioning them well for selling it into new markets as other cities follow your lead?
Absolutely.
Okay. Say something about the educational aspects of this, what it's likely to mean for both higher education and for public K through 12 education.
Sure. Well, Philadelphia has a very large public school infrastructure as well as private and parochial schools. In the public school system, we have 210,000 students at 265 campuses across from K through 12. The schools have committed to being wired and wireless. 200 of those 265 schools will be completely wired or wireless by June of 2005. The issue that they have faced is what we call the last mile.
Right.
How do you, once you have this information and ability on the campuses, get to the parents and the students in the home and make the communications with the teacher and the administration viable and doable.
So everything from parents checking on what their children are supposed to be doing for homework to make it harder for children to call up on the phone and say, my child is sick, if there's video.
Right.
And are those all things that you expect might evolve out of this?
Absolutely, and we're working closely with the school district the CEO of the school district and their chief information officer is on the executive committee. They're very excited about it. They have been doing a lot in the, you know, the educational and capabilities for, you know, helping and mentoring the students, and they think this ability to reach into the home with and build that relationship tighter with the parents in the schools will be facilitated by that. Also, at the university level, we talked briefly about expanding that ability for students that don't reside or their commuters or, you know, to have access from anywhere in the city.
Right.
In fact, we have a hotspot in the city, and it's been up about 2.5 months, and some of the heaviest users are students that come into the park and are able to ride free and communicate and get, you know, access to information. So that's proven to be very valuable to them.
In fact, if it's a nice day and they'd rather be in the park and watch a lecture that's back in the auditorium, if the auditorium has a camera and it's a webcast, they can watch it from there, depending on how the professor feels about it.
It would be a big enhancement to distance learning.
Yes, and in fact, Philadelphia professors could be seen, again, in Pittsburgh or Paris, through that kind of, in other words, you're hoping that the creation of the network will encourage the production of content as well throughout the city that can then be used within the city or elsewhere.
Yes.
Okay. On sort of the other end of the device question, it's good to provide last mile to underserved communities, but of course people need devices to access the network. How are you planning to address that issue?
Well, we believe that, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Well,
that
if you provide it, they will log on. Right.
And providing that transport, that we'll be able to partner with companies, nonprofits, to provide low cost devices. We have several programs today where nonprofits and the schools are taking refurbished, good quality equipment and making them accessible for a low entry point of $150 that can go into homes. The schools are doing partnerships to provide free equipment into the homes. The nonprofits are working with our poor and disadvantaged families to provide equipment. One of the reasons we're looking at open source and not going to a private network is that you can pick up, you know, a wireless card for devices, you know, for under $40.
Right. So the idea is, in general, that by you're essentially seeding the removal of the digital divide by dealing expeditiously with the network aspect of it, and you're saying that will essentially make it even more attractive for a variety of players to solve the device problem.
Right, and then we're also talking with organizations that can provide that education and training and showing, whether it's through the chambers, small businesses, how they can use this technology, and then, you know, with nonprofits to work in our, you know, welfare-to-work programs. To train people on how to take advantage of these opportunities.
Okay. So far, we've come up with good solutions to government, business, and educational needs. Do you envision any diminution in commuting by more people telecommuting through this network?
Well, I think it's a wonderful venue for that as well, and for transportation. One of the things that we're doing is talking with our transportation authority about Philadelphia is an urban community. We have a number of people that ride the trains.
Right.
And there are delays. You get to the depots and you have to wait, or you're on the train and there's a delay.
Right.
We have had, through, you know, focus groups, people say that they would be willing to pay for that service.
And this Wi-Fi would be available through in the commuter trains, either because the units would be there on the train or because they'd be passing through areas that had it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so it's whether it's, you know, just at the stations or actually on the trains themselves. And the beauty of this, the newer Wi-Fi technologies is that the handoff can occur at speeds up to 60 miles an hour. So So for local commuters that run, you know, in that, you know, under that speed, probably won't work on our Excellas, but on the local regional rail, that certainly is something that would be available. And you can even imagine it on buses in the future. But we're looking basically at rail right now. We think this is an opportunity, and again, that can be supported through this infrastructure.
Right, although it seems to me, if someone's on a train and the train is stalled, is sitting there on the track, and they get to the office on their laptop wirelessly, they're eventually going to think, why didn't I just stay home and connect? You know,
absolutely. Telecommuting becomes, you know, much more viable at
okay.
that point.
Now, you're trying to get a first-mover advantage here over other cities. What happens if other cities say, well, that's a good idea, let's do it too? Are you worried that the relative value proposition of what you're doing is going to be less, or that there are enough internal advantages that doesn't matter? Or what's your consideration of being a on the one hand, you want to be a model, on the other hand, you don't want some competition? How do you feel about that?
Well, there are over 200 communities that I'm aware of today that are looking at this, whether it's for government use only, and many of them have done that, or if it's in the communities. I believe we should support each other, and that it's a technology that will benefit, you know, the world. So I'm not concerned about it. Obviously, I would love to have Philadelphia be a first, and we believe that we've got the support to move us forward to keep us on that track.
What are the advantages that you see coming from this system of both for internal policing and for Homeland Security applications?
I think has, you know, will support both of those efforts very well. Obviously, they're concerned about security and whether this, you know, this wireless environment can be secured, and we're going through studies with them to show them how, you know, you can secure many of the corporations, not that, you know, the government itself are working that, you know, build this technology to get security at the federal level.
There's a lot of discussion about letting all first responders essentially be on the same wavelength so that they can communicate. Do you see this as a way of integrating the police and fire and emergency
sure.
medical services?
And they're looking at different spectrums for that, and whether there is one just for first responders versus the public 2.4 megahertz and, you know, the 4.9. And so we'll be studying that along with them and, you know, making it accessible as is appropriate.
Okay. Any other things we haven't really touched on yet that you think are important for people to know about your effort, and sort of also mention again the timetable that you see this process evolving through?
Yeah, just to kind of summarize, we see that positioning to have a digital infrastructure and become a digital city is key to the future. We live in a knowledge economy. We need to prepare our society, our citizens, to be able to participate in that, whether it be through business, education, tourism, that everyone should have that opportunity. Our time frame, again, is to do the study between now and the end of the year, present it to the mayor in December, and launch in February of 2005, and be implemented by 2006.
Okay. Hopefully we can check in with you from time to time to see how things are going.
Great.
And for now, thanks very much for talking to us on Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.